You plan, you plant, you water, you weed, and then, if everything goes well, you may suddenly find yourself overwhelmed by garden produce. Today, harvesting and storing the fruits of your labor. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today. Horticulturists Linda Nave and Richard Giron of Iowa State University Extension will be here today. We're going to talk about what to do with all of that great stuff you've grown in your garden. Harvesting and storage tips today. Of course, Linda and Richard are also here to answer your questions about your yard and your garden. Email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Join our conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today, and it's harvest time. Today, we're going to start off by talking about harvesting and storing your garden bounty. Then, of course, we will get to your questions. You can already start writing them up and send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Linda Nave is Iowa State University Extension Program Specialist in the Extension Value Added Agriculture Program. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning.
And Richard Giron is also here today, horticulturist with Iowa State University Extension. Hello, Richard.
Good morning.
And a lot of us have been working all summer to have a wonderful harvest in our gardens, and then all of a sudden there is so much. Linda, let's start by talking about tomatoes, because I know that a lot of people got them in late, but now, of course, all of the work and even getting them in late is paying off for a lot of people. What do you do when you're faced with a whole mountain full of tomatoes that are all ripe at once?
Well, there are a number of things you can do. You can, one, eat them, two, give them away, three, preserve them, as in canning and freezing or drying, and thirdly, you can store them for a period of time. Storing would be something people would do late, just prior to a freeze. Go out and harvest those mature green tomatoes that are showing pink signs inside. I mean, you'd have to cut one open just to kind of get a feel for it. But they can be stored. But that's not going to happen until late September or October, right before the first freeze, if you still have a lot of tomatoes set on, which many people may this year because they didn't start really producing until a couple weeks later than what we'd call normal this year.
Absolutely. And when you talk about freezing tomatoes, canning tomatoes, I think we're pretty familiar with those concepts. But I think freezing has really gotten to be more and more popular in the last few years.
I think it has because it doesn't require the equipment, the heat, the processing time. You peel, chop, and freeze. It's fairly easy situation. But processing takes a little longer. But then again, you have them for a long period of time as well. They're preserved nicely. You can put different things with them. You can can tomatoes, tomato juice, tomato sauce, tomato soup, pizza sauce. I mean, I could go on and on of the different things that you can and process. And Iowa State University Extension and the Extension to Families Unit have a number of publications available on the Extension online store that are downloadable PDF files that really guide you through preserving the harvest.
I've been watching my Facebook friends post their pictures from what they've been doing to put up their garden produce. And I think that the art of pickling seems to be spreading well beyond the cucumber. Is that another trend that we're seeing?
You know, I've been in Iowa State Extension for a number of years. I won't go to say how long. But when I first started, the trend was people home gardened and they canned. They canned because their mothers canned. They canned because it was the thing to do to put up product. But then it went through a period of time where really you could hardly even find canning supplies on the store shelves. It was sort of a lost art. Now, oh my gosh, it's coming back. And you see in the popular magazines, recipes for home canning. You see unique jars for canning. So yes, I think it's coming back. And as your question alludes to the pickling aspect, yeah, there's a lot of relishes. Dilled green beans, pickles, pickled beets. I mean, that was around for a while, but they're coming back. This, the preserved things like that. And what do you want to say? The sauerkrauts, the process, the fermentation of foods are coming back as well.
And, of course, there are a lot of ways to learn how to do that as well. Iowa State University Extension offers some classes as well as publications, right?
They do. And one of them is called Preserving the Taste of Summer. It is a program that you can enroll in and get certification for. It's an excellent program offered by Iowa State University Extension and Outreach. And you can simply use a search engine and look for Preserving the Taste of Summer Iowa State, and you'll come up with the information on that. The Food and Nutrition has a number of food preservation publications, as I mentioned earlier. Canning fruit spreads, canning meat, poultry, wild game, and fish, canning vegetables, canning and freezing tomatoes, canning fruits, canning pickles, and freezing fruits and vegetables. So all of these publications have the latest information on food safety as far as what you need to do to make sure and assure that that product is safe for consumption later on.
Well, let's talk about some of the things that we don't freeze and we don't can, like potatoes, for example. Mm-hmm. People are digging up potatoes and sweet potatoes, and you want them to last for quite a while. What do you need to do after you harvest them to put them in conditions where they'll last the longest?
Well, there are key factors. One is after you dig them, don't wash them. You want that soil just to be brushed off when you go to store them. You don't want to carry in a lot of soil with you, but you don't want to wash or scrub them whatsoever because that will take that little protection off of it and they'll dehydrate much quicker. So keep that little bit of soil on, but don't wash it. At this time of year when it's so dry, the soil will just sort of flake off anyway. Then you want to cure them for a while. Cure them in a dark, well-ventilated area. Set them out, and the temperature can be warm at this point. And after a couple weeks of curing in this dark area, what that does is it tightens that skin around the tuber, thickens the skin a little bit so that they do store longer. And that's a critical factor.
Does it? It doesn't have to be cool?
Not at this point.
Okay.
Nope, not during curing. Then you want to store it in a location that's 50 degrees, as cool as you can get it without freezing. And, you know, 50, 55, non-refrigerated area is great.
Which everyone has, right?
Right. Wrong.
No.
But more people are putting these areas in. You'd be surprised. Again, it's the trend towards soaring that your food and that bounty there.
So you're seeing people who are actually digging root cellars?
Or adapting a basement room to a root cellar.
Okay.
They are. I've had a number of people say they're doing this. Not just commercial producers, but home gardeners as well. They're putting in wine cellars and they're putting in fruit cellars. So I guess that goes hand in hand. So back to potatoes, they want to store it where it's dark, and that's a real key factor because if it's exposed to light, during the daylight hours, even those tubers are stem tissue and they will turn green. And that green tissue, one, it doesn't taste very good, and two, is it does contain a mild toxin. And if you eat a lot of potatoes that are green, you may get sick. So the key is keep it dark so that the tubers stay there. Best color, whether it be white, yellow, or red, but not green.
All right. And how about squash? That's something else that people really like to enjoy well into the fall and winter months.
The key to storing winter squash is harvest it when it is fully ripe. That's when, and mature, that's when the vine that attaches to the fruit is dry. And the skin of the fruit, you can barely penetrate, or if not penetrate, with your fingernail. Very dry stem. And the fruit color is a mature color. For example, with the butternut squash, it would be that deep flesh tone. So that's critical. You harvest it at the right stage. And if you're going to store them, you certainly don't want to store anything that has a blemish, a spot, or anything that could quickly deteriorate because one bad one spoils the whole lot. When you're going to store them, don't stack them in boxes. Stack them single layers on a shelf or somewhere with a little air movement between them so that if one does spot or spoil, it won't spoil all of them. And they'll store for several months. It's amazing. But you want to store them again in a fairly cool area, in a dark area.
And do not store those with like apples and pears. because they give off ethylene as they ripen. And if you do that, then those squash may not keep very well. So
that's right. They'll perish real quickly.
And when you say don't store them together, do they have to be in separate rooms? Or
ideally, they should be, yes.
Wow.
Yes.
All right. How about garlic? That's something else that has to go through a curing process, right?
Garlic is an easy one to store for the most part, and it does need to be cured. When you harvest it, they should probably be harvested by now. Typically, late July, early August would be the latest you'd harvest it. And you can see the garlic will pretty much tell you when they're ready to be harvested, even though you can't see the actual garlic head. The leaves will start to brown off. And when about four or five of the lower leaves have really browned off and you have your strong stem, that's a good time to harvest it. And after you've pulled them or dug them, you need to cure them for a while. And that some gardeners cure them by hanging them, tying the stems together and hanging them and letting them cure till they get that nice papery sheath on the outside of the heads and around each clove. And then they go in and cut the stem off, oh, an inch or so above the garlic head itself. Then they can be stored in mesh bags in a well-ventilated area, and they will keep for a long time.
Well, before we run out of time, let's talk about fruit, because Richard brought it up, but a lot of people are having huge fruit crops this year. And
right.
So beyond making jams and jellies and freezing it, let's talk about apples and pears. What do you do to keep them as something that you can eat out of hand after it freezes?
Well, with apples, basically, you want to find a very cool place. The temperature should be just above freezing, like 33, 34 degrees, very cool. And fairly moist as far as humidity. And if they have that environment, they can keep for quite some time. The same with pears. If you want to prolong their storage, put them in a very cool place, high humidity. As far as pears, when you want to ripen them, just put them at room temperature, and they should ripen in about a week or 10 days.
And it seems to me that I've heard about wrapping apples in newspaper or straw, that kind of thing. You don't recommend that?
Well, I wouldn't use straw. Newspapers, I have heard that, but then there are two thoughts on that. One is, you've heard the old adage, one bad apple spoils the whole bunch. Well, it does. And so if you have one apple that may have a spot, or by wrapping it, does keep the others from getting the rot organisms attacking them. But it also, it helps, it holds in the ethylene a little bit as well. We say when you're storing tomatoes, that sometimes helps if you wrap the individual tomatoes, because it keeps that ethylene close to the tomato and offers a uniform ripening. But tomatoes, you don't want to store in a refrigerator. You're going to store some of those mature green tomatoes. You want them stored out.
And we're going to take a short break. We can talk about some of the finer details a little bit more in a moment, or you can call 866-780-9100 to ask your questions. I'm here with Linda Nave and Richard Geron of Iowa State University Extension. You can go out to eat, and that's for sure, but there's nothing at home. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today. With me, Richard Geron, Iowa State University Extension horticulturist, and Linda Nave, also with ISU Extension. She's a program specialist in the Extension Value-Added Agriculture Program, and we would love to answer your questions now. Give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. But before we move on, Linda, you just wanted to reiterate, don't put your tomatoes in the refrigerator to store them.
Yes, even when you harvest them, unless they're really ripe and you're going to use them in a day or so, don't put them in the refrigerator. They lose their quality quickly. The texture changes. They don't ripen after that. So if you put one that's not quite ready because you're going to save it in the refrigerator, it really won't ripen on after that.
All right. And if you have any questions about storing or harvesting, you can, of course, ask those questions. But whatever else is on your mind, give us a call, 866-780-9100. Mary is up first from Des Moines. Hi, Mary.
Hi. I just had a question about garlic. You've mentioned that it's a good time, or you should have already harvested your garlic for this year. But I read recently that the fall is actually a good time to plant garlic to have a better crop next year. So I was wondering just thoughts on that and what the best timing is for planting and harvesting your garlic crop.
Well, as far as planting it, I would plant it in October. That's ideal. And then in November, cover it with several inches of straw as a mulch and leave that in place over winter. And then you can remove that the following spring. And typically we harvest usually late July, early August.
All right. And next up, Mike is on the line in Elizabeth. Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Hi, what's your question?
My question is about champagne grapes. Mm. Very tiny grapes, mm-hmm. and I got a bunch of them this year. And I'm taking a trip from Illinois to San Francisco, California, in a car. And I wondered how I could keep them fresh. It's going to be like a 3-day ride in a car from Illinois to San Francisco.
Right. I guess the question would be, could you bring those into California? Possibly not. You may want to check with someone on that, possibly in the Department of Agriculture, and see if you can, because the fruit industry is huge in California, and they may not permit that. But as far as storing it, I would store the grapes basically at a very cool temperature, maybe in a cooler, and keep it as cool as possible, just above freezing.
It could have some, like right on top of ice?
Well, you could use dry ice, but just basically a very cool temperature.
Because they go bad quickly because they're so small, you know?
They do go bad quickly. I've had them before. They're delicious. They're wonderful, but their shelf life is very short. You know, if you put them in a cooler, the warm air tends to rise. So if you put your ice layer on top, that'll keep the air moving and the cool air moving throughout your cooler. But I would separate the grapes from the ice. You don't want them sitting right on top. You don't want to ice them down, so to speak.
All right, Mike, good luck with that journey and keeping those fresh on the way. Tom is up next in Cedar Falls. Hi, Tom.
Hi. Tom calling from Cedar Falls, and my wife and I are first-time subscribers to a CSA, and we're getting a ton of zucchini. And we get an average amount of everything, and then we get like 4 zucchini a week, and we don't know what to do with it all.
Well, you're looking to keep it fresh, or you want to preserve it, or?
You know, I mean, we'd be all for some zucchini bread in the winter months, but we just don't know how to get it from September to January, you know?
I'm not sure how you would freeze or preserve just straight zucchini. That you'd probably want to talk to one of our family specialists that deal with food preservation. So I don't know the strategy for freezing or if it can be done zucchini. But if you're really interested, there are some wonderful recipes out there. If you're looking in home food preservation, zucchini relish that you can serve with just about anything. Mm. There, and like you said, zucchini bread, freeze that. That freezes up really well as a loaf of bread. So those are some suggestions. But zucchini is one of those enjoy it in the summer kind of things. Don't you agree, Richard?
Right.
Enjoy it when you can and store it in the crisper of your refrigerator because they do dehydrate very quickly, as you've probably observed.
All right, Tom, good luck with that. You can give us a call with your questions at 866-780-9100. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Pam is on the line next from Des Moines. Hi, Pam.
Hi. My question is, I have some grapevines that are like 20, 25 years old, and I've had alternate years, huge crops. And this year, they were loaded, but they all got a brown spot on the bottom of them, like either a scab or like a mold or something. And so I make jam. I make lots of jam. And I didn't use them, and of course, the squinnies and the birds have taken them. But I wondered what caused that to happen and if that's something I need to just dig them out and start over with new vines or what.
I would guess it might be brown rot, possibly, or something of that nature, where you have a fungus growing on the actual grape, and you may need to spray next spring and summer. What I would do is if you have any dried-up grapes on the actual vine, They call those mummies. Go ahead and pick those off and remove them from the area and destroy them, because if you leave them in the area, they will serve as a source of next year's infection. So if you have any dried up grapes, mummies, either on the vine or on the ground, make sure you clean those up, get them out of the area and destroy them. And then possibly next spring, look into spraying the grapevines.
And does she need to know exactly what it is to choose what to spray with?
Well, yeah, I think it's probably brown rot or black rot. And so I would check some of the fungicides, see if they're labeled for use on grapes, and if they do control either brown rot or black rot.
All right, but she doesn't need to rip out the vines and
start
fresh.
No, no.
All right, that's good news. Okay, thanks a lot for your call, Pam. And next up, let's go to Lorna in Nevada. Hello, Lorna.
Hi there.
Hi.
I was calling because I have a couple of plum trees or large shrubs or trees. I have two of them that are probably 10 to 15 years old, and one has a purple variety, and the other one is kind of a peachy yellow. And they have more fruit on them than I've ever seen this year. And so when I pick the purple ones and we try to eat and wash them, the skin is so tart, so bitter, but the fruit inside is pretty sweet. So I was wondering if you had any suggestions of the best way to make them more palatable. Like if I soak them, would it make the skin sweeter? I've tried a few things. I've tried letting them sit there, tried refrigerating, and it doesn't seem to work. So if you had any suggestions for that, I'd appreciate it.
Boy, I have no idea offhand.
Okay.
You can just leave them at room temperature for maybe a few days and see if that helps. But beyond that, I really don't have any idea. It's rather odd okay. where the actual skin would be that...
Really bitter.
Okay.
Really bitter.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not an expert, but it sounds like something you might want to use a fruit mill for. You could make jam, and then you could get all of the skin out with the mill, so mm-hmm. you don't have to actually try to peel each and every one. But
uh-huh.
I'm sure the online world probably has some good suggestions for you,
too. Yeah. We're both sitting here shaking our heads that we've heard of it, but we don't really know what you can do for it.
All right, Lorna, thanks a lot for your call. Next up, let's go to Amy in Dubuque. Hi, Amy.
Hi. I have a question for you. I picked yesterday over 100 tomatoes.
Wow.
And I am going to run out of time and energy probably before I have the chance to can them later on the beginning of next week. If I want to ultimately make salsa from them and can them, should I blanch them to remove the skins, cut them up, and then freeze them? Is that a good thing to do?
Yes. If the question is, if you can't get to them within the next 3 to 5 days, any little spot on them is going to cause them to perish real quickly, especially if stored at room temperature or in your garage or wherever you've stored
right.
all that 100 pounds. If you have the moment or the time, I would definitely do that. But the idea is, for those who aren't familiar with the terms, is you scald the tomato for a short period of time so that you peel easy. You scald it, put it in ice water, and then you peel it. It peels
mm-hmm.
very easy. And then you just cut it into the chunks, and you can freeze them in freezer bags.
Okay. I guess my next question then would be, when I thaw them out at the beginning of next week to use them for canning in a recipe, do I take any of the juice off?
That's a personal preference, in my opinion.
Okay.
Depending on what you're processing. And again, I'm not a food specialist by any stretch, but I would say it's a personal preference and depending on the recipe.
Okay.
All right, Amy. Thanks
Thank
a lot
you very
for
much.
Your call. You can give us a call with your plant and garden questions at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. With me today, Linda Nave and Richard Giron from Iowa State University Extension. Next up, CW in Green Mountain. Hi, CW.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's your question?
Okay, I've got a rhododendron planted last fall, and it's in snow and everything, it stayed nice and green, and then this spring or early summer, whatever, it bloomed really pretty. And then as the heat wore on, It just turned brown, and we water it quite a bit.
Okay, and you're talking about a rhododendron. Your line cut out just briefly when you were saying that.
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Well, the rhododendrons do have a very shallow fibrous root system, and so the last 2 months or so have been kind of rough on them. And I would say I'd be watering those plants about once a week or so during the dry period. If all the leaves on that rhododendron have turned brown, I'm afraid the plant has died, unfortunately.
Okay, so, that's fine. I just wanted to know whether it was going to come back. Got another question.
Okay,
the other one is I have a globe. I think that's what you call it. It's a round bush, kind of like an evergreen. And I had two of them, and one that is left. I pulled the other one out of roots, but it's like 6 feet by 6 feet, and I never trimmed it back because the leaves were so nice and soft. I thought I would ruin it, and now it's so big. I want to take a chainsaw and cut it down to nothing.
Okay, well, it may be a globe arborvitae, which is a fairly common shrub.
Yeah,
it does have very very soft, very flexible foliage. If it's extremely large and you want to destroy it, just cut it off at the ground. It's not going to come back. You cannot prune it a great deal, though.
Okay.
All the foliage basically is out toward the outer, maybe foot or so, of the canopy of that plant. And inside of that, it's bare. If you remove all the green foliage, and you're left with basically just bare twigs, it will not leaf out again. It can't.
Okay. So
it's basically you can prune it somewhat, maybe prune out maybe the outermost 6 inches or so.
Yeah.
But you cannot go beyond the actual green foliage.
Okay, and I think I'll just get rid of it. It's just too huge. It covers the side. Can I ask one more?
Very quickly.
Okay, I got a tomato plant. I've got like 30 tomatoes off of one plant, and the name of the plant or the brand is called Mountain Fresh.
Mm-hmm.
You ever heard of that before?
Absolutely, right.
Oh, okay, tell me, well, is that common, 30 tomatoes off of one plant?
Well, it's actually one that has come into existence in the last 10 or 15 years. It's widely grown throughout the entire country, especially by commercial growers. Very productive.
Very productive, I guess.
And it is what we define as a determinate-type tomato, in which it sets a lot of its fruit in a concentrated period of time. So if you've harvested that many in a relatively 3-4 week period, that's probably why.
All right, CW, thanks for your call. Peg is up next. Hello, Peg.
Hello.
Hi, what's your question?
My husband and I planted potatoes for the first time this year. And we have wonderful potatoes, but our plants, part of the tops of the plants are dying or are dead. We want to know if we can still leave the potatoes in the ground till closer to the end of September or if we need to harvest them.
I would try to get them out of the ground in the next week or 10 days if you can. And then basically clean them, just use your hands and kind of clean them and then cure them and then store them. But I try to get them out of the ground in the next week or 10 days, if you can.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, Peg, thank you for your call. And Dave is on the line in Madrid. Hello, Dave.
Hello. We have a peach tree that probably about 15 feet tall. We lost one of the main branches earlier this summer, and we found a third of the tree is gone. We was wondering if it would be worth saving.
Well, if the trunk is still solid as far as there's no breaks in that or anything like that. So if you have a solid, strong trunk and some nice, sturdy branches on that, I would try to keep it, absolutely.
Do I have to do any repairing either at the top or it's broken? It's kind of shagged or shaggy.
Yeah, I would probably prune it back to a very strong, viable branch. So cut it back to the next branch that's nice and sturdy.
Okay, let's give it a try. Thank you.
All right, good luck with that, Dave. And next up, let's go to Miguel. Hello, Miguel.
Yeah, I had a yellow beetle kind of attack my tomato plants this summer. So I end up pulling all of my green tomatoes off the plant, and I have them stored in my basement on a shelf, and I have them wrapped in newspaper. Mm-hmm. Is that the proper way to go?
That's the proper way to do it. The temperature should be around, let's say, 50, 55. And every so often, I would start to unwrap them and check on their progress. Mm-hmm. And when they start to turn pink, then I would bring them up to room temperature and just leave them on a counter or a table, let them ripen.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call, Miguel. And before we go to the break, we were talking about storing zucchini earlier. We had a couple of people get in touch with us to say that raw shredded zucchini freezes extremely well. Anne on Facebook says that it also can be used successfully in soups and baked goods. She always keeps some on hand so she can add a handful to pancake mix.
Oh,
so.
That's good news. Like I say, I'm not a food specialist, so I learned as well.
All right. I'm talking with Linda Nave and Richard Duran of Iowa State University Extension. It's Horticulture Day today, and you can join our conversation with your questions at 866-780-9100. This is Talk of Iowa.
To take advice from me, the more you look, the less you see. If you just must have your way, double the price you've got to pay. All you do is feel 'em, feel 'em. Ain't you tired of the feel 'em, feel 'em? All you do is squeeze 'em, money. Ain't you tired of the squeeze 'em?
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today. With me, Linda Nave and Richard Duran from Iowa State University Extension. You can join our conversation with your questions at 866-780-9100. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Here's a question from Mendy in Indianola. Is it too early for peonies to be cut back?
I would put that off until basically late October, early November. As long as that foliage is green, it's manufacturing food and storing some of that food back in its crown and roots. And the more food stored, the more flowers next spring. So I'd leave it till late October.
All right. And we have a couple of apple questions by email here. And last week we talked about the fact that there are so many apples on so many trees and mm-hmm. that we probably all should have gone out and done a little bit of
Thinning
in the spring. Damon writes, we have several apple trees with entirely too many apples due to lack of pruning, so much that one large branch split several mm-hmm. weeks ago. I removed it and sealed the cut. But my question is, when is the best time to prune apple trees? And are there any good resources on how to prune them? Is it too late for them this year? There are far too many apples on both trees, and they're all too small and too tart to eat.
Mm-hmm. Mm. As far as pruning fruit trees, typically we like to do that in late winter, typically March, possibly early spring, early April, but basically March, early April. As far as pruning, if it's a fairly large established tree, what I would look for is basically defects. Do you have some broken branches in the tree? Prune those out. Do you have any dead limbs? Prune those out. Do you have limbs that grow inward rather than outward? Prune those out. If you have branches that are hanging too low, prune those off. So basically do some removal of basically defects. And then once you've done that, if you still have a very, very dense tree, maybe a little bit of thinning where you kind of open up the canopy a little bit, and that's basically it.
All right, and here's another apple question. Our apples, and also just to return to what we talked about last week, his apples probably wouldn't be so small if he had thinned the crop this spring.
Absolutely.
Right, it's
correct.
Not all about pruning.
Mm-hmm.
All right, another apple question. This is from Kathy. She says, our apples have small holes that we cut away and eat the rest. What causes them, and how do we prevent them in future years?
Well, the problem with apples is they're really high maintenance, and that's because you have a number of insects that will damage the fruit. You have the codling moth, the apple maggot, the plum curculio. So you have a number of insects out there. And oftentimes, if you don't do anything, oftentimes the insect damage can be very severe. So severe that the apples are not edible. Some years you might get by, but other years they're so bad you can't use them. The best way to guarantee that you can use them is to spray them on a regular basis. And that begins as soon as they're done blooming, from that point until you harvest. So you basically have to spray several times during that interval as the apples are growing and developing.
All right, let's get back to the phones now at 866-780-9100. Tammy is on the line in Cedar Rapids. Hi, Tammy.
Hi. I heard there's a gentleman that's going to be taking fruit to California.
Right.
I'm from California, and they will discard the fruit if you try to cross the border with it.
That was my thought, too. Yeah. Confiscated.
Yeah, I'm from there, so I'm just visiting. But here's my question. My mom has several large grasses, and they just keep getting larger in diameter.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any way to contain those without digging them up every couple of years?
Yeah, you really have to do that. These can get
dig
to be
them up.
Yeah, dig them up. And
okay.
Yeah, it can be a chore because some of these get huge. You have this big, huge clump. Sometimes you need maybe a chainsaw to cut the clump into sections. Some of these are just very, very dense, very tough. But
so putting them in a 5-gallon bucket doesn't really work.
Well, you could try that. A large container, just make sure it has drainage holes in the bottom. And
mm-hmm.
then.
Well, they said cut out the bottom and stick it in the ground. But my father-in-law said, no, the grass will go around the outside of the bucket.
Well, I would just make sure that the bucket has several large holes in the bottom. I would leave the actual bottom in for the most part. But
okay.
Actually maybe drill several large holes in the bottom and then put my plant in that bucket or container and then sink that bucket into the ground. And that should help contain it quite a bit.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call, Tammy. The number to call with your question is 866-780-9100. Let's go to Robert on I-80. Hi, Robert.
Hi there.
Hi. What's your question?
I've got a question regarding pears. I've got both the seckle, the little small pears, and then I've got the big sugar pears. And the question is, how do you know when to pick them?
That can be difficult, but there is a color change. They go from kind of a medium to dark green to a lighter green. So you kind of look at that, and you notice that color change. Also, the little spots on the actual pear, they're typically white when they're immature. They turn kind of tannish when they're actually mature. So those two things, the actual color of the actual pear and those little spots on the actual pear itself.
All right, Robert, I hope that helps you out. You can give us a call at 866-780-9100. And let's do another email question. This is from Tom in Waterloo. He says, I planted sweet potatoes for the first time this year and kept the vines trimmed to about 3 feet long, as instructed by the nursery. When is the best time to harvest them and the best way to keep them?
I would keep them until basically right before that first frost or freeze. I would not have pruned them back during the growing season. I would not have done that. So keep them in the ground as long as you can, right before that first frost or freeze, then harvest them, clean them, and then store them at a temperature of 50 to 55 degrees.
And what's really critical with sweet potatoes, too, is that you don't damage them. Bruise them or scrape the skin or whatever. They really are sensitive, and you have to cure them a little while to get that skin tougher again. But be real careful when handling them.
All right. And we do have room on the line for a couple more calls right now at 866-780-9100. Here's another email question from Carl. This has been my best year for tomatoes, but this morning I noticed swarms of little white flies as I was picking some fruit. Should I be concerned? Should I treat the plants?
Those are probably white flies. It's so late in the summer, I wouldn't be concerned.
All right. And this is from Diane in Cedar Rapids. What is a good resource for pruning shrubs and trees? When should I do it? How much to prune, et cetera?
Well, we do have some publications on pruning trees and shrubs, also fruit trees. You can find those on the Extension online store and read those or print them off.
All right. Steve is on the line in Oskaloosa. Hi, Steve.
Hi. I was calling in response to the lady who with the tomatoes.
Okay, and the one who wanted to make salsa.
Correct. We've done that before when you have lots of tomatoes and making multiple batches of salsa. I would go ahead and blanch them and then let them sit in the refrigerator for a couple of days, and that way it's not even a juice, it's just almost a clear liquid. comes off of them, and then drain that off, and then go ahead and freeze the tomatoes, and then you can make a rather chunky salsa then.
Okay. So. All right, Steve, thanks for the advice. Next up, Bethany in Nevada. Hi, Bethany.
Hi.
Hi, what's your question?
I have a patio garden. I don't have the luxury of being able to put things in the ground. I live in an apartment. And so last year I planted a container with a tomato in it, and mm-hmm. I planted Early Girl. And it did very well last year, and I got a lot of tomatoes off of it. And for this year I decided to try something different. So I did an heirloom tomato, and it did not like the container. So I guess what my question is an heirloom tomato not good for a container garden, or is it maybe just the actual heirloom tomato that I chose? I got one tomato off of the whole plant.
Yeah, I would say the heirlooms are not as productive as many as the hybrids are, and that's
okay.
one concern that I would have. The other thing is there are quite a few hybrid tomatoes that are basically grown best in containers. You have things
okay.
like varieties like Patio and other varieties that were developed basically for container gardening. So
okay.
I would be looking for some of those, like Patio. There are other varieties. Or if you don't do that, make sure you plant a determinate variety. Those don't get
okay.
as big as the indeterminate variety. So either choose a container type tomato or a determinate tomato variety.
Okay.
All right. Good luck.
Thanks very much.
Thanks a lot for your call, Bethany. Next up, let's go to Beth in Des Moines. Hi, Beth.
Hi.
Hi.
I have some established arborvitae, columnar arborvitae, I believe they're called, and they're mm-hmm. probably 20 years old. And I'm noticing that they're getting brown, you know, there's leaves dying off. Is that drought or is that age?
Well, I would say over the last 2 years or so, we're starting to see some dieback on the arborvitae. And we believe for the most part that is weather-related, that in 2009, 2010, we had very, very wet years. And that may have resulted in some root damage because they don't really like extremely wet conditions. And in the
okay.
past 2 summers, we've had extremely dry weather. And we think those conditions have weakened some of the plants, and we have seen plants that have actually died that were very well established.
Mine are very healthy,
right.
except for now I'm just seeing these, you know, here and there some brown, and I'm concerned, am I going to lose the whole tree? Should I cut the dead branch out? Is there anything else to be done with them?
Well, if you have areas that are basically totally dead, like a few dead branches, in the plant, what I might consider doing is if I can do it, I might consider going out there and watering those plants. Mm-hmm. It has been extremely dry in July and August into September, and when you start to see some browning in the plant, that does indicate severe stress, and I think I would be likely to go out there and water them if I physically could. And
yeah,
I would prune out the brown areas.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Beth, thanks a lot for your call. And boy, with so many arborvitae dead after last winter and
yeah.
now it's so dry again, it will be interesting to see what happens next spring.
Right. They used to be so reliable, but we think the weather really caught up with them in the last 4 or 5 years.
We still have time for a couple more calls this hour at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. We're getting a lot of suggestions based on what people like to do in their own kitchens. Ruth's on the line in Iowa City next. Hi, Ruth.
Hi. I'm calling actually in response to the gentleman who was seemingly frustrated by an abundance of zucchini.
Mm-hmm.
The thing I've come up with in the last 5-6 years is making bread and butter pickles with zucchini, and they actually have more integrity than cucumbers, because cucumbers can tend to get kind of seedy on the midsection, you know, and so you end up with a jar that looks, you should be seeing a lot of mustard seed instead of you're seeing cucumber seeds. But zucchini make really fine pickles because they just take on any flavor you want. So that's one suggestion, and then Also put them in the food processor and grate them and put them in bags to freeze and use in soup and, you know, baked goods in the wintertime. And also just chunk, slice them or whatever and put them in bags. So that's
all right.
What
well,
I do. If
Ruth,
don't.
Yeah, thanks a lot for your calls. Pickles with more integrity. Jean is on the. Or Jean sent us an email from Seoul and also another suggestion. She says, when overwhelmed with tomatoes but not enough time, I've put clean whole tomatoes on a tray in the freezer and once frozen, transfer them to a plastic bag. One doesn't use them like fresh tomatoes, but they're good for any cooked tomato recipe sauce or whatever. When I take them out of the freezer, I hold them under warm water. As the skin thaws, it just rubs off very easily. Lots better than peeling before freezing. So that's a suggestion to skip that whole blanching part of freezing tomatoes. Let's go back to the phone lines and let's talk with Jason in Davenport. Oops. Hello, Jason.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, what's your question?
I've got a question. I had some success growing herbs out in the garden this summer, and I was wondering what your guests would recommend for growing plants such as parsley, cilantro, basil, indoors year-round. Obviously putting in a grow light and kind of thinking a big display pot, trying to keep them all together, but I'd welcome any advice you get that.
Herbs can be grown indoors fairly successfully. Again, he's got the right idea, though. Light intensity is very important. A bright sunny window or under grow lights. The grow light should only be about 6 inches or so above the plants. They come on fast. They grow quickly. Cilantro is a short-lived plant, so you're going to grow it, harvest it, and be done within a little over a month or less. Basil grows quickly indoors. It germinates easily. Thyme, most of them are pretty pest-resistant indoors to indoor pests such as aphids, whiteflies, and other pests. It can be done. Just be careful when you bring things from outside inside that you wash them off very well so you're not bringing any hitchhikers in with it.
All right. Next up, let's go to Lucius in Ames. Hi, Lucius.
Hi.
Hi, what's your question?
Well, I was wanting to know if it's too late to plant turnips and if you have a resource for that kind of information.
Oh, you can still plant them. They're not going to get full size, but you can go ahead and try at this point.
Oh, great.
All right.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah, Lucius, thanks a lot for your call. And next up, Joanne in Muscatine. Hi, Joanne.
Hi. I'm wondering how long you can keep the tomatoes or how long they would get in a freezer bag in the freezer.
All right. How long you can keep the tomatoes once you've frozen them?
Yes.
They recommend with frozen things about 1 year's maximum on some of those things or less. I would use them within a short period of time. But again, I'm not a food specialist, but that would be my suggestion.
All right. Well, we are out of time for today. Linda Nave, thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Linda Nave is Iowa State University Extension Program Specialist in the Extension Value Added Agriculture Program. Richard Giron, thank you.
You're welcome.
Richard Giron is a horticulturist with Iowa State University Extension. We'll be back with Hort Day next Friday. Talk of Iowa is produced by Emily Woodbury, Dennis Reese, Sarah Bowden, and Ben Stanton. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. Technical support from Sean McLean. I'm Charity Nebbe. Coming up on Monday, we're going to talk about apples. Talk of Iowa is a production of Iowa Public Radio News.